J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Cheers and full-throated huzzas are in order for Prince Harry, whose memoir just broke the Guinness record for fastest-selling nonfiction book of all time. The story of Prince Harold and his frozen yogurt slinger is so popular. They're now releasing a version for kids. I don't know if you know about this. It's a twist on The Princess and the Pea. It's called The Prince and the Penis, and it's... By the way, if the kids are still up, this would be a good time to gather them around the TV, because I have the honor of sharing a first read of the new book. And, well, here we go. The Prince and the Penis. At the chilly North Pole, a silly young codger took a walk in the snow and froze his wee todger. The skin was discolored, all purple and white. When Harry peered down, 'twas a terrible fright. Oh, mummy, he cried with a scream. And from then on a pie, she appeared with some cream. My poor little prince, put this cream on your willy. It will lessen the ache and make it less chilly. But mummy, did you not put this on your lips? Oh, yes, my dear boy, and also my nips. But do not delay or your knob be destroyed. But mummy, have you heard about Sir Sigmund Freud? Mummy knelt down and gave him a squirt into the trousers where his winkles still hurt. And lo and behold, like the calm from a storm, his frozen cold snot stick was suddenly warm. He laughed and he smiled and he said to his mummy, "You rescued the snake that lives under my tummy." Then he tucked it back in and back to her cloud. His mother went soaring and said this aloud, "Should ever you have icy chills on your heart, just give it a rub with Elizabeth Arden."
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, "I've heard it all before"? It's like deja vu.
Wednesday, January 18th, 2023, 28 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You are at jconthewine.com. Sorry about yesterday. I was supposed to come back. It was supposed to be the first show after the little break we took over the weekend for ML King. And what happened was, this is really a dumb story. So I've been trying to get my schedule, get my timing, get my awake hours adjusted, because here's what's been happening. Family goes to bed. I'm not tired. Plus the game is still going, whatever game is going on. The only thing on television besides sports and news that interests me anymore are the late night television talk shows and the Jimmy Kimmel thing that you heard right there. So I'm up late. So it's like 1-2 o'clock in the morning and I'm just going to bed, which is the opposite of what I'm trying to achieve, because, and I don't want to get into like a big teasing thing here. Trust me, when it's all over, I'll explain what has been happening, why there has been such a delay in getting this new radio station that I've been talking about for the better part of a year, trying to get this thing launched. But we're getting very, very close, and so close that I know that I have to start adjusting my schedule, because I can't stay up until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning when you're getting up and you got to be alive and alert and ready to do a morning radio show in St. Louis, which is what's going to be happening pretty soon. So I keep telling myself every week, it's like, okay, I got to get this thing bent back in the other direction. I got to start going to bed at maybe 11 o'clock at night instead of 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Go to bed about 11 o'clock at night. And what keeps happening is it keeps going the other way. The other day, and this was the primary reason I wasn't doing a podcast yesterday, is because I was up until 4 a.m. And it might have had something to do with the fact that I was watching that goddamn football game. Tampa just getting run out of their own building. Plus, I was the designated driver on Monday night because we went to a sports bar here. And so I was drinking Diet Cokes, Well, Diet Cokes have all that caffeine in it. So now the game is over. My eyes are the size of pie plates. I'm wide awake. So I go to bed at 4, and I figure, well, I'll see how this all feels when I wake up in 2 hours. And I should have known that that wasn't going to work, and in fact, it did not. But I looked at the message. The guy by the name of Everett Marshall, you've heard me talk about him before. He's the genius behind this whole thing. He takes care of getting the podcast on the air and all the, I just talk into the microphone. I lay this whole thing down. I produce it and then I send it to him. And then somehow it ends up coming out of your speakers, however you are choosing to listen. And so yesterday morning when the alarm went off and I realized there's no way, I'm in no condition to do a podcast, I better send him a note letting him know that nothing is going to be coming today. And I looked at that yesterday afternoon, and it was just gibberish. I was so tired that what I sent him, I thought, made sense, and it made no sense at all. But I think he probably figured it out because he's been dealing with me for a long time now, and let's just leave it at that. All right, so here we go. I got to put my glasses on for this because this is weird. All right, so you've got Jacksonville playing in Kansas City. Chiefs are 8.5-point favorites in that game Saturday afternoon at 3:30. Now you've got Saturday night, the Giants going to Philadelphia. The Eagles are 7.5-point favorites in that game. Then on Sunday, starting that game at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Cincinnati at Buffalo. And the Bills are 4-point favorites. Boy, is that going to be a good game. And then you've got San Francisco hosting the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night at 5:30. San Francisco 4-point favorites in that game. So there's your rundown. Madonna, yesterday, big deal, announcing her world tour. I don't know how or why this is happening. It's not so much that I'm sitting there going, oh my God, Madonna's not coming to St. Louis. I'm brokenhearted. I wouldn't go anyhow, although I know a lot of you would probably go, just if nothing else, for the spectacle of the whole thing. You think, yeah, you know, or maybe you get kids or grandkids or nieces or nephews, whatever the case may be. And you're thinking, well, I gave him a shitty Christmas present. Maybe I should spring for some Madonna tickets. And like I said, it's not that I'm upset or anything that Madonna isn't going to play St. Louis, but when you look at the places she is going to play, like Tulsa and Pittsburgh, but she's not coming to St. Louis? What's up with that? So that means that Madonna has only played in St. Louis one time in her entire career. When I interviewed her for the movie Evita, the event that inspired the book, JC, you know, 20 Minutes in the Dark with Madonna, that whole story. You know, we were sitting there talking about the fact that she had never even been to St. Louis. And then I told her, and you talk about your eyes as big as pie plates. She's sitting there with me, and we're talking about St. Louis. And I said, yeah, because if you'll recall, the guy who was running KEZK at the time, and this was particularly amusing, if you knew this guy and you knew the kind of life that he had led up until this point, and we're talking mid-90s here, okay? Mid-90s, but you go back 20 years in his career, and the idea that he would be pontificating is nothing short of hilarious. But he came up with this idea that the way they were going to promote KEZK, and some of you will remember this, is that they said, we never play any Michael Jackson or Madonna, you know, because the suggestion being, they're bad. Madonna put out a book of nude pictures and Michael Jackson, you know, I mean, it's not like the stuff's not true, but to sort of stand there and pretend to be taking some sort of high moral road, especially this guy. But, you know, he's looking at it from the standpoint of all these soccer moms that now listen to that, you know, that Joy station with all the Christian music. Back then, they were listening to soft rock on KEZK, and this stuff resonated with them. It's like, well, I didn't want to be in the car, and I have to jump to change the radio station because some song is playing that my child in the back seat is going to be adversely affected by. I mean, what has this world come to? It was all them. Okay? It was all them. So he figures, and again, as I'm hearing myself say this, maybe it wasn't such a dumb idea after all. You know, KCK, we don't play any Michael Jackson or Madonna. So anyhow, I'm telling Madonna about this, and she's looking at me like, get the fuck out of here. I'm like, no, honest to God, this really exists. She couldn't even believe what I was saying to her. Now, I'm not trying to say that, you know, Madonna announced her North American tour yesterday and did not include St. Louis. I'm not making the suggestion that somehow the two events are linked together, but it probably didn't help. And again, just from the standpoint of just St. Louis in general, you say to yourself, well, why would Madonna play places like Tulsa and Pittsburgh but not come to St. Louis? I mean, I think there's probably a story there somewhere, and it's not good. People in this country continued to be mentally terrorized by politicians who, in an effort to get attention and to stimulate their base so that they fork over more money, running around telling you to be afraid of foreign terrorists. Watch out, because they could be coming into our country and they could blow you up. And more, it turns out that it is our own people that are causing the most concern. How about this guy in New Mexico? Okay, big Trump guy loses his election by 50 points. Missed it by that much. All right. Insists that the election was rigged. Wonder where he got an idea like that. And so now pays a couple of guys to riddle his opponent's homes with bullets. They hauled his sorry ass away yesterday, but more, I mean, think about it. When's the last time, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I'm just saying, when's the last time somebody came in from outside the United States to shoot somebody or blow something up or to stage a mass attack of some sort? No, it's our own people. It's our own folks. So I've had a theory for a long time, and here's my theory. This goes back, well, over 20 years, because it was during the Rams amazing seasons, you know, back around 99 and 2000, stuff like that. And my daughters were very, very young at the time, and I had custody of them on a weekend that the Rams were playing in one of those playoff games. But somehow one of their play dates got scheduled probably weeks in advance by people who weren't even aware that there were football games going on. But one of her play dates was going on. And to make a long story short, in the middle of the game, I had to drive from Olivet down into South County or somewhere to pick up my daughter and bring her back home. And you go out on the roads, there's nobody, nobody. I probably could have gunned it to about 120 miles an hour, and I don't even think the cops were paying attention. The roads were empty. It looked like there had been an evacuation order or something. And I'm driving along going, wow, this is really up. Another car. And whoever's driving this car is driving like a fucking moron. And to make a long story short, I ran into a bunch of people. The only people out on the street seemed to be people who couldn't drive and were doing just absurd things with their cars. And you're like, what are you doing? You can't make a left-hand turn from the right-hand lane. But they were doing it. And there was a bunch of stuff like that. And I thought to myself, this is too much of a coincidence. And I drew the conclusion that people who were so out of step with the rest of the world, and I'm not saying if you don't like football, you're a weirdo. I am saying that if the St. Louis Rams at that time were playing in a playoff game and this was going to determine whether or not they were going to end up going to the Super Bowl, and you're just out going, I think I'll go to JCPenney's, right in the middle of the game, that at the absolute minimum has my attention. Because now I'm watching you and you're out like doing, you're so oblivious to what's going on around you that you're also that equally oblivious when you're trying to operate a motorized vehicle. And so that happened the other day. One of those big games was going on and all of a sudden my daughter decides, I need donuts. Like, you need donuts? Like right now? Yeah, I didn't need any breakfast, and my stomach's a little upset, and I called and made sure the donut place is open. Can I get some donuts? Oh, and she won't even come with me. She just places her order, and then I drive out, and I go get them. You know, She used to come with me, at least. Now that doesn't even happen anymore. I'm basically running a DoorDash operation for her. So I'm like, all right, it's a half an hour until game time. I got plenty of time to get to the donut place and get back with the donuts. Oh, and by the way, that's going to take me right past Walgreens. I have a prescription waiting, so I can do all this. A piece of cake. Walgreens is only like 6 minutes away. Boom, I can do this. I'll be back for the opening kickoff. So I get in the car, drive to Walgreens, and of course, I get stuck behind Aunt B. And again, I go easy on old people because they're old people. And we're going to be in our 80s one of these days. And we're going to be standing there with no peripheral vision of any kind, no self-awareness. We're not going to be standing there discussing our life story with the pharmacist, unaware of the fact there's like 11 people in line behind me who are also waiting to get their prescriptions and get the fuck out of the store. But that's what she's doing, and she's going on and on about her grandkids and the whole thing. And when she finally is done, she turns around and sees everybody waiting in line and suddenly has this attack of self-awareness, like, oh, sorry, everyone. It's like, yeah, well, okay, I just lost like 10 minutes there, and now I'm starting to feel the pressure. All right, now, good. I get the prescription, boom, off to the donut store. Get to the donut place. I get the biggest, fattest slob, poorly dressed, by the way, in a crew cut. It's just like a bad, bad example of the male culture. Like if I was a hooker in Vegas and he showed up, you'd probably be sitting there going, why me? Why me? All right. And this guy is in front of me at the donut store, and it's the same thing. This guy is going on and on, but he's a younger guy. He knows there's people behind him. He just doesn't care because, you know, he's at the donut store. This is his Super Bowl, okay? The donut store is his Super Bowl. And again, I hate to get on fat people. I've been trying to lose the same 20 pounds for the last 20 years, so I know how difficult it is. And you know, I have obesity in my family, and it does affect how you think and you feel about people who are overweight. But I'm trying to see, I missed the opening kickoff. But again, my theory really seems to hold up, because when there is a huge game or a huge, you know, television event, you don't want to be out on the streets. Your initial take is going to be, this is great. Nobody's out on the streets. But the people who are can't drive. And then when you get to wherever you're going, whether it's Walgreens or the donut store, you're going to run into people who are oblivious to what's going on in the world. Missed the opening kickoff, which was a touchback anyhow, and you bring it out to the... See, that's something wrong with the NFL. I made this point a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about this, going, you have the anticipation of the game. It's like the Vegas odds makers, the Sunday night game's not even done yet, and they've already got the odds set up for the next weekend's games. And you have all of this run-up, all of this anticipation, all of this hype, and then game day. You know, people are at Costco buying 50 tons of chicken wings and all the beer that is on the shelves. Monday afternoon about 1 o'clock, I happened to drive past Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, and there were people already tailgating at 1. The game was at 8:15. But hey, you have all this excitement, and it's like, and here we go, and then the game starts, and everybody's on the edge of their chairs, and it's go, and they kick off, and it's like, it bounces into the end zone, and it's so anticlimactic. Now, I know, it's like in the Buffalo game where the guy runs the thing back for a touchdown, but that almost never happens. You wouldn't see that in baseball. It's like, Joe Buck, John Smoltz, what a ball game we're going to have. What a terrific matchup. Here we go. Pitcher toes the rubber. Here's the windup, and we're under. Oh, he called timeout. You know, come on. Did we all watch the Night Court reboot last night? Harry Anderson's dead, just as well. Harry Anderson was not a pleasant man to be around. He played the Westport Playhouse back in the late 80s. It was a show that, for whatever reason, I was not involved in because I did all the emceeing out there. But they brought in Harry Anderson. And for months after that appearance, people were like, what a dick. You wouldn't believe what a dick this guy was. So in this reboot, and I wasn't looking forward to the show. It just came in after dinner, and the TV was still on, and the show was on. I think it was, I'd had the news on. Now they're into their primetime schedule, and there's this little Melissa Rauch. Melissa Rauch. Now, you recall her from some other movies and TV shows, but she plays the daughter of the Harry Anderson character, and they did spend an awful lot of time referencing the old show. You know, Marsha Warfield, remember her? And then who's that big guy with the bald head? His name was like Moose or Tank or something like that. The bailiff. Marsha Warfield was a trip, by the way. We brought her in for that Westport comedy series. She was hilarious. So anyhow, the judge is played now. The Harry Anderson part is played by this Melissa Rauch, this actress who is supposed to be the daughter of the Harry Anderson character. She is 4'11". 4'11". That's Trish Brown territory. Remember the meteorologist on Channel 4, little Trish Brown? And I think Melissa Rauch is pretty, a little bit of a nose on her, but somehow it just still works. But I'm telling you, a couple of years ago, there was this movie that she was in called Bronze. Bronze. And it was like one of these over-the-top farce movies, and that's not really my favorite kind of movie, but it was about these Olympic athletes. And all the Tanya Harding type double crossing and pressure and sex. And I'm going to be a guy here for a minute. So if you're offended by me talking like a guy, the way guys talk, especially around one another, just forward a minute or two here. But as I hear myself say that, I'm sure women have had this thought too. You're thinking to yourself, God, the Olympic Village, you know, because we already know they hand out condoms to everybody and they're, you know, young people in the most active prime of their life. They're in peak physical condition, meaning that not only do they look good, but also when they actually get around to doing the horizontal bob, can you imagine the endurance? And then if you're talking about especially the gymnasts, the strength that they have, can you imagine the positions that they must come up with? And that's what this scene in the movie Bronze is all about, except because it's a farce, because it's a comedy, they go way, way ridiculously over the top on the idea of what would the sex positions be like for two Olympic athletes. And would you get points taken off, for example, for the dismount? Good morning, everybody. So anyhow, you see that movie, and you will never see this little Melissa Rauch the same way again. Let's just put it this way. When they were making the movie, she wasn't shy. And if you think that's an overstatement, you think I'm hyping it, whatever, I don't care if you see the movie or not, but if you do, you're going to say, oh my goodness, he wasn't exaggerating, was he? Just a little something to look forward to. Sometimes it can be dangerous being a performer. You're on stage. There's all sorts of stories about people falling off stages, you know, people collapsing. We had that thing at one of the award shows a couple of years ago. Was it Vince Neil got hit in the head with a piece of scenery that was hanging from some cables? Now, Kristen Chenoweth said her hair extension saved her life during an accident on the set of The Good Wife in 2012. She suffered multiple injuries, including a crack in her hairline that a doctor said was able to stay together because of her hair extensions. That's like that story about a guy. I remember Norm MacDonald did it on Saturday Night Live Weekend Update about a hotel worker. Guy's working like the all-night desk shift at a rotten motel, and a guy comes in and tries to rob the place and shoots the attendant. The attendant happens to have a shirt pocket, and in the shirt pocket is a knife, and the bullet ricochets off the knife and saves his life. And I still remember Norm MacDonald doing this stuff. Hey, yeah, you live in a violent society when people are being shot in the knife. Great joke. Channing Tatum is going to do a remake of Ghost with himself in the Patrick Swayze role. Dumb idea. Just so you know, that thing Rose is floating on at the end of Titanic was not a door. And I mentioned this because Titanic is running on cable this month. James Cameron said it was a piece of wood paneling from the first class cabin. He also did a forensic examination of whether or not both Rose and Jack could have survived on it. The answer came out as no. This is something that got my attention because I was just preaching this to a friend of mine over the bar the other day about halftime adjustments in the NFL. They always talk about it. They say, okay, it's 21-0 here at the half. They're going to, yeah, the losing team, you know, they're going to have to really make some halftime adjustments here. And the NFL talks about it all the time, about all these halftime adjustments. You hear it all the time. Peyton Manning says it's a myth. Here's the quote. You go in, you use the bathroom at halftime, you eat a couple of oranges, and then the head coach says, all right, guys, let's go. So much for that. Jimmy Fallon tonight, John Leguizamo, Jennifer Lopez on with Jimmy Kimmel, Trevor Noah on with Colbert, James Corden has Angela Bassett, and Seth Meyers has George Lopez. Guinness World Records said Elon Musk broke the record for the largest loss of personal fortune, $182 million in the loss column. The previous record holder lost $58.6 billion. Aubrey Plaza hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend. Meryl Streep joining season 3 of Only Murders in the Building with Steve Martin and Martin Short and Selena Gomez. Meryl Streep does good comedy. Remember her in Defending Your Life with Albert Brooks? Paramount Plus has removed wounds from Jeremy Renner's face on the Mayor of Kingstown poster out of respect for his snowplow accident. Renner said he watched season 2 premiere with his family at home and he'll continue his recovery. He's been the guy's lucky to be alive. When you see what happened and the weight of this thing, God, you can make the argument that the fact that the snow was as deep as it was saved his life. You had an 18,000-pound machine that runs over you? Here is potentially very, very good news. Craig Ferguson's late-night show was one of the funniest things I have ever seen on television. It just seemed to get sillier and sillier every year, and all that... those little robotic characters and the guy dressed up like the horse. And people would come on that show and just let loose. I mean, they had so much fun. Craig Ferguson was so funny and so quick, and the show was so good. Now, it says here, he is returning to late night with a show where he takes a comedic look at what happened on the week's other shows. Sounds a little bit like Talk Soup, the thing Greg Kinnear used to do on... That was on E. Kenny Loggins set himself up decades ago to have the most appropriately titled farewell tour of all time. It is the This Is It tour. It's going to kick off in March. If you see these women, it seems like it's particularly black women who have these fingernails that are like 3 and 4 inches long, and in some cases even longer than that. But you know what I'm talking about. These really long-ass fingernails. At some point, it may have crossed your mind, when one is pleasuring oneself and you have fingernails that long, how the hell does that work? Well, Cardi B, big hip-hop star, singer that you may be familiar with, has decided to answer that question. A fan actually asked her about it, referred to her fingernails as claws. Cardi hinted at her preferred workaround and probably gave a sneaky pro tip to all the ladies out there looking to emulate her looks. How does a singer finger herself with them? I don't, she said. I rub it. And then the fan responded, show me. Nice try. Birthdays today, Jason Segel from How I Met Your Mother and Forgetting Sarah Marshall, 43 today. Mark Messier, New York Rangers legend, is 62. Kevin Costner is 68. Curly from the Three Stooges died of a stroke at the age of 49 on this date in 1952. And 33 years ago today, 1990, Washington, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry arrested on drug enforcement sting operations after he was videotaped smoking crack. 27 years ago today, 1996, Lisa Marie Presley files for divorce from Michael Jackson after 20 months of a weird marriage. And 25 years ago today, what we were just talking about, Titanic wins 4 Golden Globes, including Best Drama, Best Director for James Cameron. Also at the awards, Ally McBeal beat Seinfeld as Best TV Comedy. And it was 7 years ago today, 2016, that we lost Glenn Frey of the Eagles.
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show Graham.
The Eagles' Glenn Frey on making the transition from music to acting.
Greer, this has got to be very difficult for you. What is your life like these days?
Well, now I have a family, and it's really grounded me, and it's really given me a place to go when I take the makeup off. I have a beautiful wife who's a professional dancer. I have a daughter, and I have a son. So I have this great place to go. You know, I used to want to move back to Colorado really bad and get out of L.A., and I sort of equated the Rocky Mountains with my personal happiness. But now that I have a family, I'm living in Santa Monica on a normal street, and because I'm with my family, I'm happy wherever I am. You know, this is the best life has been for me so far.
And maybe you saw the story, Missouri lawmakers will require women to cover their arms in the State House. You think I'm making this up? I'm not. It's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be law or policy or whatever, but if you're a woman and you're in the Missouri State Legislature, you have to cover your arms. Well, it's about time, said 1935. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, January 18th, 2023 is in the can. 28 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. We're back up and running here at jcontheline.com. Please continue to spread the word. Let people know that we are here absolutely free. In the meantime, you can contact me, JC at jcontheline.com or on Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. Talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.